Welcome to another episode of DK in the Lab. We're in the lab with Dex.
I got a special guest with me. I got V. Sanford out of the University of Georgetown and out of the University of Dayton. V, what's good, bro? How are you?
I'm good, man. Just taking a day at a time out here in Italy now. That's it, man. Just taking a day at a time and just keeping these days pushing.
How's the family going, man? How's everything going with your people at home and everything else?
It's good. I just had my daughter. My daughter was born last week on the 26th of January.
Congrats.
I got a son. He's doing good. My wife, mm-hmm. She's fine. I think she just got COVID. So we're just trying to make sure everything's cool with that. But everything
God.
Else is cool. Yeah, it's all good though. You know, just staying
positive. My condolences. With
it.
Yeah. My condolences,
thank
man.
You.
This COVID thing is ridiculous, bro. It's ridiculous.
Definitely.
Which is why I have to ask, like, once 2020 came around, what was going on in V's world during the time when this all started?
Man, you know, it's crazy. It's like, it was kind of like this. It was when my wife was pregnant with my son at the time, and she was about 9 months pregnant. We were in Limoges, which is in France.
Okay.
And when we found out about, you know, the lockdown, she wanted to leave. So my wife is from France. She's from the south of France. So we decided, you know, to take the car, and we drove 8 hours from Limoges to Nice, France. So it was kind of a hectic situation, but, you know, something we managed to get out. I got two COVID kids. So, you know, I'm just blessed, though. I'm blessed.
Yeah, but man, it's awesome that you were able to give birth during a difficult time, because then it gives you some positivity. So that's really good, and it's good that you guys were able to get out of that situation and put yourself into a better situation in regards to like moving around and things like that. So it's good to hear that everything
For sure.
is good, man.
Thank you. Thank
good
you.
To hear that everything is good, man. Other than that, I needed this interview, man, because I mean, back in the day, I do remember seeing you play with Georgetown. I do remember a little bit of the Dayton days, the NCAA tournament, because I love basketball, man. So I do remember a little bit of it. So once I came across your Instagram, I'm like, oh, I remember this dude. Like, I gotta get him on here, man. I got to.
Yeah, that's cool.
Of course, man. Not only have you been there, but you a vet pretty much. Like, you've been there for a minute. So it's like, the young listeners that are going to listen, like, they're really going to, like, learn from you, because it's like, you've really been there. You feel me? You've been there in a tougher era, too. You know what I'm saying? You've been there in a way tougher era than, like, what's going on now. Like, you were there when it was really, like, a little bit rugged. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. So, I appreciate you for coming on and talking, bro, for real. Let's go all the way back. Let's go to the beginning for V.
Okay.
When did you first pick up a ball?
I want to say I was like 3, because my dad played. He played basketball. He played at he had signed to the University of Kentucky, but he ended up transferring to South Florida. So, you know, my dad played basketball, and you know, I was around it. So, about 3 years old.
Wow, that's a fun fact. I didn't even know that. Your dad played at the university. He had an offer to play at the University of Kentucky. That's crazy.
Yeah, he actually signed there, and then some stuff happened. He transferred. So
he transferred. How did he like it at South Florida?
For him at the time, you know, I guess it was good. You know, it was different because, you know, we all from Lexington. We're from Kentucky.
Yes.
So it was good for him to get out of the state, and he grew. You know, he grew as a person, he grew as a man. But you know, it was like the beginning of, you know, South Florida basketball being pretty decent. So you know, it's just an experience for him.
That's awesome. So you picked up the ball first when you were 3. When did you when what how old are you when you played in like your first like organized game?
I want to say I was 7 years old. I was about seven.
Okay. So you played, did you play in like a, was it like a rec league or AAU? What was it?
Yeah, it was like a little rec league at an elementary school. My team, we would call it like the, we would call it the Spurs, I remember. And I remember every time I would get the skill and I would always travel and the ref would always call traveling. I'm like, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
Like, you got to take your two steps. But,
you got to take your two steps, yep.
Yeah. But yeah, that was my first experience with organized basketball.
Okay. So when you were seven, that was the first time you touched the court. When, how old are you when you realize that it's like, yo, like this is the sport that I'm really going to play? And also, another question also in regard to like everything before high school, when did you first start playing AAU?
Okay. Well, I'll say that I knew it was going to be my sport. I figured that out in high school because coming up, I played all three. I played football, basketball, and baseball.
Okay.
And I was really good in football. I was really good in football. But I was super skinny. And yeah. I remember my ninth grade year, I was on the freshman team. And, you know, everybody at the, during that time, they starting to hit puberty and stuff. I'm still like 5'6", 100 pounds. And I was running a route and I got clapped, man. And after that, after I got hit too crazy, I was like, I think I'm going to just stick to basketball after that. So that's what kind of made me change. I was a late bloomer as far as like hitting a growth spurt and stuff. So at that time I was super small.
Definitely.
And then,
definitely.
I played AAU a little bit as a kid. It wasn't like how it was now when I played. So I played a little bit, like when I was 9, 10, and then I stopped. And then I played one time, like in one tournament, my junior year. So I stopped from 9 to like 17. And then I played in one tournament when I was a junior in high school. And that kind of put me on just that one time. But I wish I had played, you know, throughout my high school years. Just to see how, you know, what would have actually happened. But I didn't really play it too much.
Hear you. So as far as, like, the 7th grade, 8th grade team at your middle school, did you play in middle school or no?
Yeah, I played middle school. I played I was 6th grade, and I played on the freshman team, too, because my dad was my coach.
Okay.
So I played a little bit. I played high school, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. And then I played the middle school team too. So yeah.
Oh, so you were doing both? How? But because there were people that were doing like rec league and freshman team. What was the schedule like for freshman team? You didn't practice every day for freshman team, did you or no?
No, I didn't get to practice every time, but every day. But you know, the games I would be there, and like you know, seldom practices I would show up.
Okay.
Okay,
so you were already getting the high school experience as like a middle school kid, which is awesome. Definitely.
Yeah, it was good. It was definitely good.
That's awesome. How did it, like, as far as like stats and like playing wise, how did it go for you in like the middle school years? Were you doing well, or were you still like learning a lot?
I was pretty solid. Like, I've always been like, I'm a hooper, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can hoop. Like, even before I was playing organized ball, I had the outside, so I would always play with the older guys so I could play. But I was just little. But I've always been pretty solid, like nice handle, nice little jumper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I would try to just, you know, work on that type of stuff. And, you know, through middle school, I was solid. I wasn't the man, though. I wasn't, like, the best player. But, like, if you just, like, some players you can watch and see, like, oh, no, he got it. He just got to keep, you know, keep getting bigger, getting stronger. I was that kid, like the skinny kid with, like, the skill.
Definitely. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome that you were able to pick it up at such an early age and already start to adapt to, like, the toughness and all that stuff. I mean, it already shows that basketball was in your blood and it was in your future. So moving forward from the middle school days, now let's talk about high school. ninth grade and 10th grade, I know you're at one school, you're at one of the Lexington schools. And then, whatchamacallit, junior year, senior year, you went to Lexington Catholic.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. Just run us down, ninth grade, 10th grade. Just the floor is yours. Let us know how that went, like your first experiences playing high school. Well, not your first experiences being in high school, because you already did it in middle school, but your first experiences being in high school and where you were on JV freshman year. Let us know everything that went on those first 2 years.
Well, my freshman year, I was at Lafayette High School, which is a solid school in Lexington. I played JV and I dressed varsity. I didn't get in the game in varsity, but I had played JV, and it was cool. I mean, the guys are still pretty big, but that's when I started to grow a little bit. I had grew to like 5'10". I was like from 5'7" my eighth grade year to like 5'10". So I grew a little bit.
My apologies. You went to, it was Lafayette, was it Lafayette Catholic or Lexington? It was Lafayette, right?
I went to Lafayette at first, and then I went to Lexington Catholic.
Lexington Catholic. Okay,
yeah.
I had it
right.
Keep going. I had to make sure.
Good.
Did I screw that up? Nah, I was good.
You good.
Keep going.
My sophomore year, I grew to like 6'1", and I had started on the varsity team, and I had a pretty good sophomore year. I kind of like a come out party, but the thing at the time, the public schools, like if you like 6'1", they put you as like, at the time, man, they put you as like a straight up wing, like a forward.
Yeah.
But so my dad wasn't really feeling that. Like, he's like, nah, you a guard. You just grew a little bit. So that's when I made the move to Lexington Catholic. And at the time, that was one of the best schools in Lexington as far as, like, playing on the national scene and playing in the top tournaments across the country. So, that was the right move for me. My dad, he left Lafayette as a coach, and he got on the coaching staff at Lexington Catholic. So. That was just a move that helped me grow a lot.
That's perfect. So I have a question. I was always, once I started doing research yesterday, I was always curious about this as I was looking through like all your high school stuff. Who was the toughest high school player you played against?
Man, it was a lot, honestly. Wow. That's a great question.
I thought about it. I was like, I gotta see what he says about this one.
I mean, there's a list of guys because I played against Shelvin Mack. He's a really good player. He played in the NBA for some years.
Okay.
Did he play Hobson?
Did that dude play at Butler?
Yeah, he played at Butler.
Okay.
He's from
Lexington, I remember that
too.
Okay. Yeah, I remember him. Yep.
Scotty Hobson. He played at Tennessee. He's a dog. And then Darius Miller from Kentucky.
Okay.
This kid named Reeves Nelson. He played at like UCLA. He had him and DJ Seeley. There were some good players, man. I think it was between them three and Kentucky. Oh no, actually, I take that back. The toughest and maybe the best player I played against is probably Bud Mackey. Nobody remembers him, but he was the best player in Kentucky.
Okay.
At the time.
Solid. That dude from Butler, Sheldon, I remember him. He was tough.
Yeah, Sheldon was tough too. But the guy down there was Bud Mackey. He was the guy.
What school did he end up going to, that guy?
He had signed and committed to Indiana University. He was at Scott County, and they had won the state. That was the year they beat O.J. Mayo and Patrick Patterson, and they was at Huntington.
Okay.
I was a sophomore in high school. But he had gotten into some trouble, like with some drugs and stuff, and he had went to prison, and he's been in and out since. But, man, he was a talent that he would have been in the NBA today, a 6'4 point guard. He was tough.
Yeah, I got to do my research on him later on.
Yeah, you should, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely should.
Definitely got to do my research on him. Now, junior, senior year, let's talk about offers. Junior year, when did the offers start coming in for schools?
They came in a little late, but I had a lot of guys on my team at the time that were getting recruited. So I had a guy that was getting recruited from Vanderbilt, Air Force, and some other Princeton schools. But when the coach from Vanderbilt had saw me, I think his name was Coach Mueller. He ended up coaching at Illinois State. But they had liked me a lot. And I just started getting letters from them. Kentucky was just showing me a little interest because I was a local kid. But, like, my first real interest came at the end of my junior year. I got a letter from Virginia Commonwealth, but I didn't get an offer. But it was that summer. My summer from junior to senior year is when I first got my offer, when I played in the AU tournament.
Okay. All right. So junior year, they started coming in a little bit late. Once junior year was over, what school was showing interest in you that you were like, yeah, like this is definitely, as of now, this is my top school?
At the time, man, that summer, I wanted to go to Cincinnati. They showed me a little interest. They showed me some interest, but I grew up a Georgetown fan and a UC fan. Crazy because I'm from Lexington, but I really had at the time I wanted to go to Cincinnati because that's right up the road from where I live.
Okay.
The only team that really was like showing me interest at the end of my, like I said, junior year was VCU.
Okay.
With Coach Anthony Grant.
Okay. VCU. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about VCU?
Man, I had liked them a lot, man. I had remembered at the time when they had played Duke and Eric Maynard hit that big shot. You know, they weren't really like a big name school in Kentucky that a lot of us knew about, but you know, if you follow basketball, you know they had a great basketball program and Coach Grant was doing a great job there. So
yeah,
that's
VCU
all I had
knew
at the time.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, VCU definitely has some good teams. So you had some schools that were solid that were already showing you interest by your junior year, which is great. Moving forward to senior year, break down that season. How'd that season go for you overall?
Well, it started that summer, man, when I played in the Take Five tournament up in Cincinnati.
Right.
And I went to a couple of camps, and I got an offer from Miami of Ohio and IUPUI. And the crazy thing about that is my dad didn't want me to play. He was like, I don't want you to play AU. So I remember I had snuck out the house and called the coach. I was like, I want to play with y'all this weekend. So I snuck out the house. Yeah, it was crazy. I snuck out the house at like 7 in the morning. Got up. They picked me up. Everybody in the house asleep. You know, hit the road up to Cincinnati, and I play in those games, and I got some interest. And the West Virginia coach was there, and you know, just other coaches were just seeing me. And that's when I just started getting letters, and that's when I got those two offers. And my dad had called me. He was like, "V, where you at?" I'm like, "I'm up in Cincinnati right now." He said, "Boy, you just got on that damn road." I'm like, "Yeah, I had to." I said, "I got two offers though." And then we had to talk after that.
That's crazy, bro. You really stuck out that. You're different for that, man. You're different.
I could never.
That is something I would consider doing, but it's like, bro, I would have been in so much trouble after that, bro.
I just wanted to hoop. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to hoop on a level, like on a national level, because at the time, the rankings and all that stuff was important.
It was important,
so I got to get out.
Yeah.
So that kind of set me up good for the season, and when Bradley University had offered me. They had showed a lot of interest in me, and they had came to a lot of my practices, and they took me. I took my first official visit there to Bradley, and I was about to commit there, but my dad told me to wait. And I waited, but I was committed to Bradley. I was going to commit to Bradley. And I just waited. the season started, and then offers just start coming more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was like Charlotte, Georgetown, Nebraska, mm-hmm.
yep.
St. Louis, Georgia. Mm-hmm. I want to say Iowa was one of my top picks too, and Baylor. It was Baylor too.
Wow,
yeah, Baylor definitely.
You had a lot of solid schools looking at you, V.
Yeah, I was a late bloomer. I had been that summer. I grew to like 6'3", 6'4". So,
yep.
I was a late bloomer. Yeah.
Okay. So let's fast forward. We're at senior year. I would say towards like, let's see if you remember, like towards like the middle of your season.
Mm-hmm.
How were you guys doing towards like the middle of the season for senior year?
We were doing all right. I remember I had I had really bad tendonitis and I couldn't really play too much. It was like during the Christmas part and my knee was crazy swollen. But we were doing solid, I think. Honestly, it's been so long, man. I just remember we was in like a holiday tournament my senior high school. And
yep.
We had surprised a lot of people though because we had two seniors on that team. And we had done better than what a lot of people expected that year.
Definitely. Yeah. So, you remember the overall record after that year?
I want to say we were 22-11 or 26-11. It was one of the. Is it like 32-4? We were 32-4 my junior year, and then we was 25-11 is what we were. 25-11.
So you basically had a very, not only were you getting like crazy offers, but like you were on a solid team at Lexington Catholic pretty much.
Yeah, we were winning. That's one thing we did. We won the district and we won the region 2 years in a row and qualified for the state.
Okay.
2 years in a row, which was really good in Kentucky because mm-hmm. there's only one. We play for one trophy in Kentucky. There's no 5A, 4A classes like that. So,
yeah.
It's just one. Yeah.
Okay. So you capped off on a solid high school career. Your senior mm-hmm. season is over with. What's going mm-hmm. through V's mind as far as college goes once that season was over with? What are you thinking at that time?
Man, honestly, I wanted to go somewhere where I thought I was gonna play that was on a good level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that time, I remember Coach Thompson that came to a few of my practices and games. And like
Recipes.
I told you before, I grew up a Georgetown fan.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw him come, I was just like I was super excited. So I had already had that in my mind once I saw Georgetown. Like even though I had Baylor for my next visit and I want to say it was Nebraska, but I was already set on being a Hoya.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So at that point, you already decided that you were going to Georgetown. Now let's fast forward. Freshman year at Georgetown, your first year in college. Break down freshman year for basketball and just let us know about Georgetown in general. Like I don't know anyone that went there like personally. So like let us know like how your experience was as a first time college student.
Well man, coming from Lexington, Kentucky to Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
kind of a culture shock, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the city life. I mean, D.C.'s not really a huge city, but it's the East Coast. It's like it's different from where I'm from. So it was already a little culture shock for me. And I just remember at first, you know, as a kid, I thought Georgetown was an all-black school, you know, because Washington, D.C. and, you know, seeing Big John and, you know, seeing those guys on the floor.
Definitely.
But when you get there, man, it's one of the richest schools, a small private Jesuit school, and it's very diverse, man. You got kids from all over the world, you know, that come to this university to study. So it was something that I was just surprised when I saw. And you know, I was in a summer program up there for like a month, and you know, I had learned and met so many people from different places, man. It made me realize like you know, there's a lot more out in the world than, you know, Lexington, Kentucky, you know. So I learned from that. And then as far as, like, the workouts, man, they were a killer at first, man. Like, mm-hmm. I just remember working out and just, like, going right to sleep after the workouts, like, yeah. being dead exhausted, man. So, you know, as a freshman, coming in as a freshman year, man, it was tough, especially the summertime and the preseason, man, because I would just be slumped. And learning all those plays, man, was tough.
Definitely. So, moving towards the actual season, how did you think you were adapting to the college game as the season was going on?
Honestly, man, I think for me, I feel like I adapted well. But as a competitor and as a 18-year-old kid, I didn't really understand it all. And, you know, it's more to it than just, like, going out there and getting buckets. You know, that's what I was – that was my thing then, like
– mentality.
But I was playing with great guys in the backcourt, man. I had Chris Wright. I had Austin Freeman. I had Jason Clark my freshman year.
Yeah.
So, and I had Greg Monroe, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I got to learn a lot from those guys. But, you know, at the time, being so young, I was so anxious, man. So I would be like, man, I want to play. I want to get out there.
Yeah.
But at that time, I also learned that, you know, you got to wait your turn and you got to pick up from these guys. These guys are some McDonald's All-Americans. You know what I'm saying? So I learned
Definitely.
About that, man. You going to college, man, you're not the best player. You know, you got guys that's top in their schools coming here. So I learned a lot from that, man. But I feel like as far as just playing-wise, I always held my own. But, you know, it was a lot I had to continue to learn as far as getting physical and just learning the Princeton offense, which was, you know, it was a task for me because I was the kind of guy that wanted to just go. But, you know, my freshman year was definitely my 2 years at Georgetown was a great learning experience, but my freshman year particularly, I learned a lot.
Definitely, bro, definitely. How did Coach Thompson treat you?
Man, Coach Thompson was cool. You know, he's kind of an introvert guy, but he's really cool, very calm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's patient with me. He understood that, you know, the Princeton was going to be kind of hard for me at first. He understood that just being away was going to be kind of hard, just being a freshman. But overall, man, he was a great guy. And Coach Hunter, Coach Kenya Hunter, man, he was a guy that kind of kept me level-headed. You know, he kept me cool, you know, took me out. You know, and, him and Coach Pooh, like, they was a good group of guys up there.
What was the toughest team, if you remember, what was the toughest team you played against freshman year? Like, what was your biggest challenge that year?
Man, the biggest challenge, well, because, at that time, the Big East was crazy.
Crazy, super crazy. Super crazy, yep.
I want to say Syracuse. No, I can't say Syracuse because we beat them. But they were tough.
Mm-hmm.
Duke was tough. But I'm going to say the toughest team for us, we beat UConn, was Pitt. Playing at Pittsburgh was tough for us.
Pitt?
That was a tough game. Playing in
was
Missouri.
Was Westerfaith playing? Gibbs playing? Okay.
Gibbs was the point guard. I think Wanamaker was there.
Yep.
They had Gilbert Brown. They had a good team. But we played them there, man, and playing at Pitt was really tough. There in Villanova was tough, too.
Wow. Yeah, I can see Villanova being tough. Oh, so you played against Corey Fisher.
Yeah, played against Corey Fisher,
God.
Man. I think I'm
you gotta tell me. You got to tell me about that, V. Tell me how Corey Fisher did, please.
man. So, you know, I'm going to just take it back a little bit. So, in high school, you know, I would watch the SEC Network. I would watch the Big
yep.
East Network.
Okay.
So, in the Big East Network, man, you see all these guards, man. You see Corey Fisher. You see
yep.
Kimber Walker. You see Scotty Reynolds.
Yep.
You're like, damn. Hey, that's college basketball. Like, that's what I'm about to be in, like next year.
Yeah, Corey Fisher made it look so fun, man. He made it look so fun, bro.
Right. So when you playing against him, man, and he got like he got handle. You know what I'm saying? Like, he got handle. He got counters.
Yeah.
So, for me, I don't even know if I played that much that game, but I remember I was on this, I was maybe on this mixtape, but he got me one. He got me a good time, man, but.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the game. But, man, those guards in the Big East were crazy at the time.
Yeah, definitely, man. I can only imagine playing against Corey Fisher. But at the same time, I look at it as if I play against Corey, I'm definitely going to get better, bro, defensively and offensively. If I'm scoring on Corey, because Corey, I know Corey's going to play defense, he's quick. And defensively, like you said, with his handle, his speed, if I can stay in front of Corey, in my mindset, if I'm playing at that time, playing in the Big East, I'm going to tell myself, if I can stay in front of Corey, I can stay in front of anybody, bro. Honestly.
Every night, man, if you could stay in front of any of those guards, man, because every team had a dog. Every team had a dog, man. Even like like Seton Hall, they had Jordan Theodore. He was tough. South Florida had Dominique Jones. Like, he was crazy tough. Mm-hmm. Providence had Marshawn Brooks. Like, there was no night off. And I was a freshman, like, watching most of it on the sideline, like, damn, like, they tough. And, you know, so it was no night off, man. That was – Big East was a gauntlet. It was crazy.
I feel that, bro. What was I going to say next? So you played against Corey Fisher. That was a good experience. Okay, so fast forwarding. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, in my freshman year, we had lost in the Big East Championship.
To who?
And, you know, to West Virginia on like a last second. Was it a last second shot? It was a crazy shot. I think it was the last second shot.
To Truck and all them?
It was, yeah, to Truck and who was it? Butler? Not Butler. They had like five guys. It was like 6'8". But it was Truck Bryant was there for sure.
They had Deshaun Butler at that time, right?
Deshaun Butler, yeah. Deshaun Butler. I think he hit a game winning. I think he gamed us. And they had Jones, Kevin Jones, somebody like that. Yeah, Kevin Jones. They had a good team. Nah, they beat us in the championship, man. For me, that would have been big, just to win the Big East Championship.
The Big East Championship was definitely a huge accolade at that time. That definitely would have been huge.
Yeah.
But those West Virginia teams were definitely tough. So, I mean, that's not you lost to a formidable team.
You lost to a great team. Because they had beat Kentucky in the Sweet 16 that year, so they was a good team.
Definitely. So fast forwarding, now we're moving on to sophomore year, your last year at Georgetown. Break down that year real quick. Let us know how that went.
It went fine. I mean, it was another year that I had to kind of wait because I was playing with, you know, upperclassmen, man. And then we had a young guard, Markel Starks, who was really good, too, from the area. So I had to share minutes with him, so... To me, my time there at Georgetown, I think if I had been more patient, I would have learned and I probably would have played more my junior year, senior year. But at the time, man, I wanted to be closer to home. And, you know, that's where I found the opportunity at University of Dayton, which is like 2 hours away from Lexington. And, but I learned a lot up there. And, you know, I talk to those guys to this day up at, from Georgetown and appreciate the moments I had because I learned how to be a professional up there. I learned how to handle myself. I learned how to be away from home. I learned how to be patient when basketball is not working. So, I was great up there, man. And, you know, Georgetown still, I'm still a Hoya at heart. You know what I'm saying? So it was great.
Definitely. I'm happy you were able to start off your career at Georgetown. Georgetown is a phenomenal university. And then
definitely,
it's good that you were able to get opportunity at Dayton. Now, your first year at Dayton, which is a very, very important year. You know we're going to talk about the NCAA tournament. But break down your experience, your first year experience at Dayton.
Well, my first year I had the red shirt, so I couldn't play any games. But
okay.
So I was in the weight room. I was the best friend with the personal trainer, man. They had me in the weight room every day. I was running. I was lifting crazy weights. Like, it was a crazy year as far as that. Like, my body really transformed to, like, a machine. Yeah, when I was there. But, you know, they had a pretty solid team, man. They had Chris Johnson. He played in the NBA for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They had a pretty good point guard. Great point guard, actually. Kevin Dillard. I played a year with him, but that was his first year playing. at Dayton. Yeah, ever since first year. And then they had some other guys, man, that were really good. And I think they played in the NIT that year. But that year, man, I was going back, you know, going back and forth home every weekend, man. So I wasn't really up there that much. I would go to school, practice, and then when they played after the games, I'd go right back down to Lexington or, you know. So that year I was more just going back home and hitting the weight room.
Okay. So after that redshirt year, the first year where you were on the active roster, break down that year. That's the NCAA tournament year, correct?
Nah, we had the – that was my senior year, but this is my – the first year I got to play was my redshirt junior year.
Okay.
And,
Wow, yeah. I thought the whole the NCAA, the big moments, and so I thought that was your senior year. I thought that was your junior year.
Nah, yeah, it was my senior year, my fifth year.
Okay, but, that was the last year. So break down that junior year, that first year on the active roster at Dayton, break it down for us and let us know like your toughest matchup too.
It was an experience, you know, because that was like my first time in a big role. Really, since high school, you know, because I didn't play that much at Georgetown.
At Georgetown,
I had that
right.
redshirt year. Mm-hmm. So I was coming to something completely new and something that I had to adjust to. But, you know, my senior year, my junior year, I felt like I did pretty well. I had averaged around 12.3 points. We had a young team. I think we finished like 17 and 14, which was a disappointment for us, but everybody was kind of new into their roles. We had a lot of freshmen and a lot of guys that, you know, that were having coming into new roles. And we had our point guard, Kevin Dillard. It was his senior year, and we had a kid named Josh Benson. We had a few seniors, but for the most part, we had a bunch of guys that were going to come back the next year. And my junior year, you know, we did what we could. But that year, the Atlantic 10 was really tough. There were maybe five teams that went to the tournament. And I remember playing against Rodney Clark from Butler and Langston Galloway from St. Joe. And,
Langston,
you know, who else was there in the Atlantic 10 that year? UMass had a great team. St. Louis had a great team. So LaSalle had the other
Galloway. Did UMass have Chaz at that time?
Yeah, they had a little Chaz.
Chaz Williams,
and
yeah.
And then
okay.
LaSalle had they had some nice point guard. I forgot his name. And then they had Galloway, another Galloway kid that was cold, super cold. So, man, that was that. The Atlantic 10, I learned Atlantic 10 ain't no joke either. So
nope.
My junior year was a lot of learning too. So it set us up for our senior year pretty good.
Perfect. So now that you were able to break down the that junior year, let's move on forward to the big year. Break down that senior year, man. Break down what was going through your mind as you were on campus and getting ready for the season. Let us know what you were thinking.
Well, man, we had a lot of big expectations, man, going into my senior year. We had got a guy, Jordan Seibert from Ohio State. He had redshirted the year I played. So it was his year, you know, his first year. And we had, you know, everybody returning back besides our point guard. So we had a new point guard. We had Scoochie Smith. I don't know if you know him, but he's from the Bronx. We had him. We had Deshaun Pierre, Devin Oliver, Devin Scott, Jalen, damn, I'm tripping right now. Jalen Robinson. we had a good team, but for me personally, man, I was going through a lot in the beginning of my senior year, man, because my grandmother had passed away from breast cancer, and that was another reason why I came back to the area, because she had fell ill, so I wanted to be around. So she had passed away from breast cancer, and it was like right before the season started, and I kind of like lost interest, man. I didn't want to play basketball. Kind of fell in a state of depression, so I didn't want to look at the ball, you know. But, you know, went to the funeral and then went right back to practice just to try to, you know, fight out of the funk. But my coach had suggested that I come off the bench after my first two games. I played solid, but, you know, the way I play, I can get a bucket when I have to, for, you know.
Right.
So my coach just suggested that, you know, I come off the bench and be the sixth man. And that was something that I bought into because, it don't matter as long as you finish the games. So I had bought into that role, and, you know, I felt like Cyber was a great fit, you know, for the starting five, just as far as how the pieces were. So that was something I bought into. And, you know, we went to Maui. We had surprised a lot of guys, surprised the nation, because we had beat Gonzaga, who was, like, top 10 in the country. That put us on.
Right.
And then we had went through, like, a little funk where we lost our first six games in Atlantic 10. We were, like, 0-6, or we were, like, 1-5, 1-2. And then, you know, we turned it around, man. And, you know, basketball and sports in general is all about timing. So we turned it around at the right time, and we won the games we were supposed to win, and we got our foot in the door. We got our foot in the door in the tournament. You know, we turned up, and, you know, we turned heads, and we made history. But that senior season, man, it was a lot of ups and downs, but I'll say one thing we did was just we just maintained, and we just kept pushing and kept pushing. And that's just life in general, man. You got to push.
Definitely. Now, before we move forward, you know we got to talk about that game against Ohio State and then in the NCAA tournament. Please break that game down for us. And from the beginning to the final moment when you hit that game winner, let us know everything that happened, everything that was going on the floor.
Well, it all started with the selection show when we saw we got Ohio State. We didn't want to take it like as a rivalry. We just wanted to take it as an opportunity to just show who we were. But, you know, the media was making it as like a big bro, little bro game because we were, you know, little town, Dayton, Ohio, going against the Ohio State.
Right.
So the media kind of made it bigger than what it was. And, you know, we kept our heads, man. We were hungry. We were a hungry group of guys. We were very kind of junkyard dog-ish. The way we played, very scrappy, very hungry type of guys. So we knew that game was going to be tough. They had a great group of guys as well. They had Kraft, they had Thompson, they had Smith. You know, the names can continue, but
right.
That game was tough. You know, back and forth, and then the coach had drew up a play that I had messed up previously when we played at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I had forgot to go get the ball before. Like, when we play Ole Miss, I forgot to get the ball. But he was like, gee, this time go get the ball. So we did, like, a play where Devin, he did, a seven cut to the basket.
Right.
When I saw Aaron turn his head a little bit, you know, he let my right hand go, I saw light. So I just took off, man, and shot my floater. And then got it. The shot went in. But after that,
that
was crazy.
That's just insane because Aaron Kraft don't give nobody light. So that's just
yeah, he's
crazy.
A great defender.
He's not playing no more. He didn't, especially during his Ohio State. He didn't give nobody light. So it's like just the fact that you hit a game winner and you hit it on one of the best defenders in college basketball history, not just college basketball, Aaron Kraft was ridiculous when he played. Just the fact that you did that in an NCAA tournament game in college against somebody who's, like, up there as far as defense in college basketball history is incredible, bro. Incredible.
Yeah, it was a great experience. And, you know, once we won that game, it just gave us a confidence after that to, like, all right, man, we can really do this, you know. So all you need is one good game, and it sparked our confidence.
Yeah, bro, that was a great moment, man. That was a great moment. When did you guys take the exit that in that tournament, though? Who did you guys play against that beat you guys?
Man, we lost in the Elite Eight to Florida. That hurt.
Okay.
Because we could have won that.
Right.
I feel like we could have won that game, honestly.
Yeah.
But, man, that's just one of those games where you're like, man, like, we were that close to the Final Four. We were, I mean, they beat us pretty solid, but we had just done some things. it would have been different. But we were a game away from the Final Four, which was crazy. It's crazy to think about it, you know?
Yeah, no, you guys came a long way that year. Like, that year was just – that was a great year for Dayton, and I'm happy that you were able to be a part of it. Like, and losing to Florida, I mean, Florida is always tough, but, I mean, Florida was tough back then. So that's not definitely lost a great team, but you guys came far, man. I felt like I wouldn't have put my head down after what I did against Aaron Craft and all that stuff. I would have been like, yo, like I really made history. So I mean, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Cause,
right.
I mean, I was you were on one of the better Dayton teams, man. Like just to go from how you start from like how Georgetown went, a phenomenal school, but just how like you weren't playing as much to going to Dayton and doing that. It's like, I mean, you had to, it was a grind, bro. Like you really had to be humble, put your head down and like take every day, you know what I'm saying? Like with your heart and just keep on moving forward. Like I appreciate that, man. Like I love stories like that where someone is like kind of starting low. You know what I mean? Not playing as much, whatever, and then they come up, and then they just make history, man. Like, it's a great story.
Yeah, man, you gotta stay ready. That's it. Just stay ready.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you a vet, man. Like, I remember it briefly. I didn't remember it all. I had to be reminded, but, like, I remember some of it briefly with Dayton and Georgetown. I'm like, yeah, man, V could play, man. I gotta get V up here, man. I just kept on saying it to myself, like, V is that guy, man, and he's I mean, you're humble, man. You don't say too much. You do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Of course. Anytime, Z. Now, break down real quick, like the last segment. Break down overseas, man. Break down. I know you've been overseas for a while. Break down your favorite team you played on overseas. Break down your best moment overseas, your worst moment. Just break that down for us real quick.
Man, so I'm going to just give you a quick little story first. So just overseas in general, for the guys out there that's listening, it's something you got to be serious about. And it's not like in my case, you know, it didn't go how I wanted it to go at first. Because when I came out of college, you know, you get an agent and you think you're going to automatically find a job. But you got to understand it. You're now in a market where there are other players across the world that are looking for a job as well. So every team has their specific goals on who they want to bring in. And normally it's hard for like a rookie to just get their foot started, you know, unless if you're like NBA or, you know, borderline NBA, you can just come into a top league. But in my case, I didn't come into a top league. I went to Iceland at first. And, you know, it was all right out there. I played from October to, like, February, and then they cut me. And I had great numbers. I was averaging, like, 24 and 10. And then they let me go, and then I went to Columbia. I went there for the rest of that season, my rookie year. And then I got hurt. So I sat out a year. And the year I was out, I was, like, refereeing and tutoring kids.
Right.
And just working out every day. I was at the YMCA working there, getting up at 6 in the morning, and then staying there lifting and then refereeing at games at nighttime. And then a friend of mine had told me that they had needed a player in Germany, Pro B. So I was like, how much? And he was like, it's not that much. It was like maybe 600 euro, 700 euro. And I'm like, damn, I was making more than that my rookie year. But the thing is, it's like you just got to bet on yourself a lot of times out here. And I did that. I bet on myself. I took the chance. And the contract was only from November to December. It was like a tryout. But thank God that I played really well. And the team that I had signed to had a first division team. And the coach from the first division team saw how efficient I was and how well I was playing to where he wanted to bring me into to practice with the first division team in Würzburg. And I had done well, and they had decided to sign me for the first league team by the grace of God, you know, because and the thing is, I was trying to go home for Christmas break, but I didn't have enough money
to go home. So the coach was just like, well, why don't you stay here and you practice with us? So I was like, all right, I'll practice with them. He's like, man, like, maybe we'll try to sign you. So they signed me. They ended up signing me. And I ended up staying in the first division that year in Germany. And then from that point on, I didn't look back. And I went to France, and I was in France for 4 years, met my wife, and had my kids out there, and I'm in Italy this year. So I'm just telling you guys out there, the young guys, man, you gotta stick with it, because you don't know what's gonna happen. But as long as you stick with it and bet on yourself, the sky's not even the limit. You can get past that. So just keep working. But
your college and your overseas story, how you had to start from where you started to move up, is, bro, V, it's incredible, bro. I'm telling you.
Thank you, man.
It's incredible. And, I mean, you deserve the credit, man, because it's just what you had to go through at Georgetown, and then what you had to go through at the beginning of your stages overseas to where you are now. It's just, it's amazing. I still got more highlights to watch of you, V. I ain't even get to watch all the highlights I wanted to watch. I was just watching some of the Dayton highlights, some of the overseas highlights, but I got more highlights to watch. I ain't done yet. Even after this interview, I still got more research to do, bro. I ain't done.
Cool.
I ain't done.
Nah,
man.
Thank you.
I'm following your career from now until you're finished. I mean, I'm going to know exactly what's going on, bro, because
I appreciate it, man.
My podcast, I appreciate you so much for coming on, bro. Respectfully.
No problem, man.
And I was just like, I was talking to myself, I'm like, bro, I need a top-tier vet to hop on. Who am I going to get? And then I came across V's Instagram. I'm like, I got to get V. Like, maybe not going to waste no time. I'm going to text V right now. I got to get V. Like, yo, V, please talk to the people and let everybody know what you have to go through. And, I mean, I learned a lot about your dad getting that UK offer and then going to South Florida. I learned a lot, man. I really did. And I'm grateful for this. We probably going to end up doing this again when your career is over, too.
For sure, man. No problem. No problem, bro.
Definitely. All right, V. I'm gonna tap in with you. I'm gonna hit you after I get off the phone with you. But thank you so much for coming on, bro. I appreciate you so much, my guy.
No problem, bro. Thank you, man. Stay up,
V. All right, man. All right, peace.